This is a podcast about the critical need for energy independence. See, we're in a war, a world war right now over energy, among other things, but Matt Bracken calls it World War E. E is for energy. And as part of this war, our own access to energy is clearly about to become restricted, you know, more scarce and more expensive. And that includes diesel fuel, it includes natural gas, it includes the downstream products from those sources of abundant energy, such as nitrogenous fertilizers, ammonia, you know, phosphate fertilizers, etc. And then there's electricity. See, the power grid is powered by a diverse array of energy inputs, depending on what grid you're on, what region. It could be coal, it could be natural gas. A lot of it's natural gas in the U.S. It could be nuclear, it could be wind, it could be solar, etc. I mean, those are the main sources right there. Many of those sources are increasingly strained, and the supply chains are increasingly fragile. And this is why the Eastern Power Grid, the PJM Interconnect, as it's called, which serves, I think, around 65 million Americans spanning 13 states, that power grid is already issuing warnings that it won't be able to handle peak demand with a sufficient buffer beginning in 2027. We've also just had warnings from the Southwest region of the Western power grid in the United States, warning about peak demand on hot days. Of course, you can have high energy usage on both extremely hot days or extremely cold days. And so this risk can happen both in the summer and the winter. The simple truth of the matter is that the U.S. power grid is becoming a lot less reliable than it once was. I recently joined Redacted with Clayton to talk about these very topics. And the takeaway is that the only real solution right now, because of the fragile nature of the power grid and the unreliability of the, you know, the fossil fuels, the gas, etc., the solution is to become energy independent if you can. Now, there's really only one easy way to become energy independent right now based on current technology, and that's to use solar panels. You can use solar panels combined with power stations. And then those power stations store energy, and you can use those power stations later on to, you know, charge your phone or run a blender, run a refrigerator, run lights, etc. And there are a lot of different power stations available. These are all off-grid systems because they're not connected to your grid. And that's a great way to start because you can get sort of smaller or medium-sized power stations. Our sponsor has many of them. For example, Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. They have power stations made by EcoFlow. And I think they're adding another company soon. There's another company called Pecron that I'm currently recommending and using also, which you can find their products at rangerdeals.com. And they make some very large units. EcoFlow also makes large units. And there's some units you can buy at retail. I think there's like Jackery units that are available at retail. And this is a great way to get started because you can just erect a couple of solar panels and, you know, you can have some backup power. And once you do that, you'll pretty quickly want to scale. And when you scale, that means a full-blown solar system with an inverter, charge controller, plus batteries and things like that. And I'm not going to go into all those details here today, but rather, I want to reinforce the freedom that energy independence gives you. So let's just go down the list on what's on the top of my head here. With energy, you can cool your home. With energy, you know, you can make ice. With energy, you can boil water. You can cook meals. With energy, you can run your appliances, washing machine, dryer, obviously. With energy, you can charge a robot, charge a drone, or charge your EV. So when you have energy, you have range because you can refuel your EV. If you have an EV, you can refuel it essentially from sunlight. So you don't need the Strait of Hormuz to function. You don't need oil refineries. You can recharge from sunlight. And when you're doing that, the government can't tax your harvesting of the sunlight. And when you're driving on the roads with your EV, you don't pay a fuel tax. You don't pay a highway tax. You don't pay the normal combustion engine fuel taxes that are very high. So you're operating at a fraction of the cost of driving a gasoline engine or a diesel engine. And you have the freedom of being able to refuel without having to go to a gas station. You don't have to depend on refineries functioning. You don't have to depend on there being peace in the world because you can just recharge from the sun. So that's very empowering. But you can do a lot more things. Energy independence is critical because you can run your local AI inference engine by having a local workstation with a GPU, and you will have already downloaded open source AI models. So you can just run those locally. You can have access to an encyclopedia of human knowledge at home on your own system without relying on the power grid. Energy independence is going to become more important than money, really, in many ways, because the power grid will become unreliable. Wherever you live in America, you're likely to experience more brownouts, blackouts, and even rolling blackouts, and in some cases, maybe shutdowns in the years ahead, because the power grid will become less and less reliable as more and more data centers are connected to the grid, using up the available energy, and also rendering household use a lower priority tier. Because, you know, the data centers typically will demand agreements that they be kept online. Although there are some exceptions to this. I think there's a law in Texas that requires data centers to be shut off first compared to residential users. But in other places, it's the opposite situation. So depending on where you live, you may or may not have energy when the data centers do. The bottom line is you used to be able to depend on the power grid to always give you the energy that you wanted. You could plug in anything, you know, you could build a house, you could have new electrical service, you could just ask for it and they would give it to you. Oh, I need 200 amp service at this house. I need 600 amp service at this commercial building, whatever. They would just give it to you. No more. Those days are over. Easy power grid interconnections are over. Now, at the same time this is happening, solar panel prices have plummeted over the last several years to the point where solar panels are ridiculously cheap now. And they're good. I mean, high quality, good solar panels are ridiculously affordable. They're so cheap that it's not the solar panels that are the issue with building solar systems. It's the batteries. The batteries are where you'll spend more money. And fortunately, batteries are also getting much more mature, more capable. They can handle more charge-discharge cycles. And they're safer because a lot of battery chemistry is switching over in the direction of sodium ion, although it'll take a few more years for that to really work its way across the ecosystem. The result of all of this is that today it's more affordable than ever before to go off-grid, to achieve energy independence. And if you're just a normal household that just does, you know, normal things, a computer, some lights, you know, a blender, some laundry every once in a while, whatever, you don't even need that much energy. You can go off grid relatively easily compared to, you know, commercial operations. And I encourage you to look into this, but also watch out for scams. There were some scam companies running around for a few years that would do the install for you, and then you would just make a monthly payment to them. But their service sucked, and they never really did maintenance, or some of them. And then some of them went bankrupt, but you still had to make the payments to the new owner who provided no service. So there are those horror stories out there. What I say is buy the equipment, own the equipment, do the install, pay for the install, and just own it free and clear if you can. Even if you have to start smaller, just own it free and clear. Don't get into these weird scams and schemes of payments and leases and all kinds of paperwork, you know, and risk. It's better just buy the equipment and own the equipment. And then in the process of planning this, I want to say something that is a radical departure from what you've probably heard. I do not recommend grid tie systems at all. No longer. I recommend 100% off-grid systems, and there's a very important reason why. So grid tie systems, typically, they do not use batteries. They're tied into your power grid. They simply augment the grid. But grid tie systems, when the grid goes down, your whole solar system goes down. So you don't have any off-grid reliability. You don't have any redundancy. If the grid goes down, you go down. And that's because the solar panels are tied into the grid and it has to be shut off automatically to protect linemen who are working upstream, and you can't be sending like high voltage power up the lines when the linemen are conducting repairs following a storm, right? You don't want to hurt them with insane amperage and voltage. So that's why all the grid tie systems are designed to shut down. And they do. They disconnect when the grid is not on. So the system that you want instead is called an off-grid system. An off-grid system is not connected to the grid. You can't feed power back to your power provider. You don't want to. You want to store it locally using batteries, for the most part, batteries. So an off-grid system, you install that with your solar panels and your batteries and your all-in-one inverter slash charge controller. And then you would install a transfer switch. This is typically a large switch that, you know, an electrician would come install. You do need to have this done safely, obviously. It's a large switch, and it has one lever. And this lever disconnects you from the power grid. And then in the downward position, typically, it would connect you to your own local off-grid grid, if that makes sense. Your off-grid grid. From that point forward, oh, and by the way, there's a little short gap where you have no electricity during the switch, and that's by design. You never want the grid touching your off-grid grid, because bad things can happen. So you have to have that air gap in between. So if you have a computer, put a UPS on it, you know? If there's something that doesn't like having no power, something that reboots, put a little UPS on it. Very simple. Anyway, what you can do with this then is you can use your solar panels, you can charge up your batteries, and then you can switch over to your off-grid system. And from there, you might be able to just run 24/7 off that system, depending on, you know, how many solar panels you have and how many batteries you have, etc. On cloudy days or rainy days, or if you have a high electricity usage that you can't keep up with, then you could switch back to the regular power grid. And when you do that, then your off-grid grid will just charge up and the batteries will charge up to 100%. And when you think it's appropriate, you can switch back to the off-grid system. And this way, you can run certain days completely off-grid, but you can still use the grid in an emergency if you don't have enough power on your own. So that's one way to achieve this transition. But in the ultimate setup, you would be 100% off-grid, and if you run low on power, you would crank up something like a diesel generator. And that diesel generator would, you know, charge up your batteries to make up for a loss of sunlight or whatever's going on, or to make up for your extra usage of kilowatt hours because you're running your air conditioners all day or whatever it is. This is why people typically oversize their solar installs. And typically I hear people saying like 1.3. So if you think you need, you know, whatever, 100 kilowatt hours, size it for 130. You're going to need extra because, you know, your solar panels aren't going to always work at 100%. The sun's not always going to be out. You're going to have cloudy days, whatever. And depending on your region, you may have to oversize it by a lot more, 1.5, 1.7, whatever. You know, your local solar experts will know this. They'll know your, you know, seasonal gathering of kilowatt hours based on your latitude. They're going to know the weather patterns, etc. For every square meter of sunlight reaching your land, there's an average amount of kilowatt hours that that's going to produce, you know, per day throughout the year, a lot less in January if you're in the northern hemisphere, and a lot more in July, obviously, because there's more hours of sunlight, and the sun is more directly overhead. Anyway, these are simple questions to answer with a little bit of research. But the bottom line is, once you do this, you have achieved power independence. Then you can freeze ice, run air conditioning, boil water, run, you know, water pumps, charge your car, run your computer, you know, run your AI models, all these things, charge your power tools. You can do all this without needing permission from the government, without paying taxes to the government for the energy, without having to buy any energy, without having to pay the power company a connection fee or any of these things. This is freedom. It costs money to get there. You have to have some technical expertise. It's a learning curve. I get it. I've been going through that learning curve myself, but it's well worth it because at the end of the day, you have the freedom that comes from energy independence. So I'll be bringing you more videos about this coming up soon. I keep saying soon, but I have delayed the filming of this inadvertently, but I will get you videos. I'll be posting them on brightvideos.com, and I'll show you how this works. And just remember, use a professional installer. Use, you know, all the safety protocols. You got to have inline fuses. Some places require inspections or engineering plans or whatever. Depends on how many liberals are in your city, basically. The more liberals, the more they want to have, you know, oversight over your system. So it's up to you what you want to do, but I say keep it safe, keep it professional. Make sure that you're not just going full-blown DIY, like, let's just throw our fingers into all these contacts and see what happens. Like, that's a recipe for death, so don't do that. Be safe, but definitely check this out. You can follow more of my work at brightvideos.com, and you can also follow my articles at naturalnews.com, or you can follow me on social media. My username is HealthRanger, that's on X, and also brighteon.social, which is our own uncensored platform. I'm also Health Ranger right there. So check it out. Oh, and healthrangerstore.com if you want to get prepared with storable foods and superfoods and high-density nutrition supplements, things like that. So check that out, and thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.